Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, of course, we got the big Trump rally taking place tomorrow night in Bozeman, Montana. I know everybody's getting excited for that. I had some listeners in Helena say, hey, apparently there's a bus from Helena that's driving down for the Trump rally. So I don't know, Shay, share the details if you've got details on that. I know we've had some listeners say, hey, is there going to be a bus headed from the Flathead going to the Trump rally? Like I say, if there is, feel free to share the details on that one with us here today. Then on Saturday, so Friday night, the big Trump rally alongside Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse in Bozeman. That's Friday night. And then I'm going to be leaving Bozeman very early Saturday morning because we're going to be doing a cool event at a gas station Saturday afternoon, trying to help you pay for gas with all the high gas prices we've seen due to Joe Biden and John Tester's failed policies. So I'll be doing that event. And then we've got Jim Jordan, Judiciary Committee Chairman, Congressman Jim Jordan out of Ohio. He's incredible. He's doing a rally with Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke this Saturday in Kalispell. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Oh, yeah, Aaron, I'd love to go see Jim Jordan. I'd love to be there for the Jim Jordan-Ryan Zinke event. But, man, I heard the tickets are already sold out, and free. You don't have to pay for them. But I heard it's already filled up. I got some very good news for you. So it's still going to be at the same location. It's going to be at Glacier Bank Park in Kalispell, but they've moved it. I think anyway, I can't remember the exact location. Either way, they're moving the rally with Jim Jordan because there's so much demand for people who want to be at that Jim Jordan rally that they are moving it to a bigger location now. So what that means is they've got, I think, another 150 tickets or so, at least as of last night. So jump on that one fast, ryanzinke.com to get details or to get tickets for the Jim Jordan rally. I have the honor of being the MC for that event. Looking forward to it. So what a weekend we've got ahead of us here over the next few days. By the way, tonight I'll be doing an event paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We are going to be at the brewery at High Plains Brewing in Laurel. So you can kind of think of it like a Trump rally before the Trump rally. So many great people are going to be at the brewery in Laurel tonight. We're going to have some gift cards for you, help you get some food from the food truck, get a beverage or two, you name it. So come see us in Laurel from 5 to 7 tonight. I'm going to be on Main Street, Bozeman, doing a similar event tomorrow afternoon, maybe around 1:30, 2 o'clock or so. So I'll give you more details tomorrow. Sunday morning, we should go have breakfast with our friends in the Flathead Valley. Where should we do breakfast from on Sunday morning? Do you have a cafe? Do you own or run a cafe? Do you want us to come buy gift cards from you and give gift cards out to your customers? Well, send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or you can email Aaron@MontanaTalks.com. And, hey, we'd love to come have breakfast with you Sunday morning after the Jim Jordan rally. Phone lines are open for you. Back right after this.
Securing America.
As tensions continue to rise in the Middle East, America's military aims to meet several goals, including supporting Israel and protecting U.S. troops in the region. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says the U.S. is looking to de-escalate threats while also
making sure that we're ready to meet our national security commitments there in the Middle East. And that includes, I would add, protecting and defending our own people and our own facilities.
In the meantime, the five U.S. service members and two U.S. contractors injured in an attack at the Al-Asad Air Base in Iraq by Iranian proxies continue to recover. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
And it is incumbent upon the Iraqi government to take steps to prevent attacks in the first place, and when attacks do occur, to fully investigate and hold accountable those parties responsible.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
the night before the Trump rally in Bozeman, Montana. We're going to have a cool event, kind of like a little pre-funk for the Trump rally. We're going to be doing a cool event at the brewery in Laurel. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I've got that story on our Montana Talks website right now. Or better yet, get the Montana Talks app on your smartphone and you'll see it right there. Plus, we've exposed yet again the fake news narrative against wolf hunting. MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, 406-294-0970. And we've got the phone lines open for the rest of the morning all the way until 10 a.m. But first, we got a couple of great guys on the phone lines with us here this morning. You know, I've been talking about a bunch of events that we're going to be doing over the next few days, political rallies, Saving America, handing out free gift cards, you know, that sort of stuff. But you know what? We've got an incredible event coming up on August 17th. So you've got time. You got time to plan a road trip. You got time to get it on your calendar. 40 years now, they've been doing this fundraising breakfast for the Manhattan Volunteer Fire Department in Manhattan, Montana. Chris, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks. Thanks for having us on.
Well, it's great to have you. And first off, thanks to all of our firefighters out there and our volunteer firefighters in particular. What do you want to tell folks about the breakfast?
Hey, it's going to be great this year. We've been doing it 40 years, and we have a lot of food. It starts at 6 in the morning to 10:30. And then you know, the firefighters might even dance in the parade.
Oh, yeah. Is that when the potato festival is going on? Is that the same timeline?
Yes, it is.
Oh, perfect. So like I say, if people want to, you know, plan a little road trip, even if you're not in the Gallatin Valley, you could plan a road trip, go check out the incredible potato festival, the parade, and get some great breakfast. How important is this fundraiser for your volunteer fire department?
Well, it is the main fundraiser for the department, for our association, and we usually use the proceeds to get equipment that we need.
Just a huge deal, yeah. And I know, yep. and also a good outreach event too, to get the word out on everything you guys do. Let me bring in. We've also got William Johnson with us here on the phone lines as well. William, thanks for being with us. And I guess what do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Oh yeah, thanks for having us on. It's just a fun time to come out in our community. You know, we're a town of less than 2,000 people, but on that day we serve over 1,000 people. Our community really comes out and supports us and helps us raise money. As Chris said, it keeps us up to date on training equipment, on equipment to respond to calls. It's a big deal for us. We enjoy it too because it's a time that we can interact with people in our community. And let them know, hey, we always need volunteers. There's always a spot for you on the fire department.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know volunteer fire departments all across the country have been struggling for volunteers. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, we're seeing growth in places like Manhattan, Montana. You've seen a lot of growth in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, for sure. You know, back just a point of reference in 2016, a volunteer department, a small community responded to 263 calls. For the last 2 years, we have exceeded averaging one call per day. And, you know, every one of our firefighters works full-time jobs, most outside of the community. And so we need more volunteers to help us respond to this increased call volume.
Yeah, that sounds like practically a doubling of your call volume here in recent years. What does it take to volunteer? What's the process if somebody is interested in doing so?
So we meet on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. every Tuesday night for training. Basically come by, see what it's about, fill out an application, and just come and spend the time. So what it really means is giving up a couple hours a week and do the training process so that we're all a team, and then be ready to answer the calls whatever time of day that they happen to come in.
And back to Chris here as well. Chris, how rewarding is it being a part of this effort?
Oh, you know, I was talked into joining years ago, and I didn't know anything about it, and it was, I didn't know how much fun it would be. And it really is rewarding serving your community.
What's the fun part? Yeah, because we think of the heat and the hard part of the job, but what's the fun part of the job, too?
Well, that is the fun part.
It's like,
yeah, but going up in accidents and being able to help people, and you know, some of their, it's like the worst day of their life, and you can help them. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, it's so much more than just fighting fires, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, actually, fires are a small part. It's, you know, motor vehicle accidents and the medical. It's all tied together.
So huge, so important, especially in you know, growing communities like yours. Again, August 17th, the 40th year for the Manhattan Volunteer Fire Department, and their big fire department breakfast coming up. And hey, if you've got a fire department in your neck of the woods, you know, check in with them. I know, you know, they'll have various fundraisers throughout the year as well. Chris, thanks for being with us. Thanks for reaching out. William Johnson, anything you want to share as well?
Just thanks again for letting us speak about, you know, important needs in our community for our fundraiser. We'd love to see you in Manhattan come out. It's a lot of fun. We play music. You can come out, have pancakes, eggs, hash browns, bacon, sausage. You will not go away hungry. If you do, it's your own fault.
That's your own fault. That's right. All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for what you do for the community and much more. All right. Quick break. Next up on the phone lines, a nice surprise phone call here from Commissioner Randy Brodell with the Flathead County Commission. Looking forward to hearing what Commissioner Brodell has to share.
Brett Bear Minute.
Vice President Kamala Harris is officially the Democratic Party's presidential nominee, and she has chosen Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her running mate. The pick was met with resounding support from many prominent Democrats, with former President Obama praising the pick in a statement saying Kamala Harris has chosen an ideal partner and made it clear exactly what she stands for. Though Republicans, like Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance, slammed the Minnesota governor for his support of progressive causes. Co-host of the Five and Democratic strategist Jessica Tarloff.
I did think she was going to pick Governor Walz. I only bet a dollar on it. I know I could have gone for more, maybe won $10. But it felt like in the last couple of days that the vibes, as the kids are calling it, were shifting in his favor. It was because of reports about Josh Shapiro, about his team, and then Politico had the big piece that came out that said that the interview didn't go well and that Josh Shapiro and his team had acknowledged that.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
All right, Semper Gumby, once again, always flexible here on Montana Talks. A, because this is the show where you get to talk, so we like to take your phone calls anyway. We don't want to overbook the show with too many guests, but there's been a lot of big breaking news this week. But also, with the big Trump rally taking place in Bozeman on Friday, we're keeping the phone lines open in case there's big guests, in case there's breaking news. Plus, we want to hear from you. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.
Get ready.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is great to get a phone call from Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell. I was just thinking, I was like, man, I just ran into Commissioner Brodell. Where was that? I think it was at the Meadow Lake Golf Course when the Montana Chamber of Commerce had their Governor's Cup. Either way, great to get your phone call, Commissioner Brodell.
Hey, Aaron, it's good to visit. And yeah, it was when you were up in the Flathead for the Governor's Cup. It's a beautiful day in the Flathead, sunshine, and birds are singing, and it just doesn't get any better. Just wanted to remind folks we've got the fair coming up next week, starting on Wednesday, and it is going to be beautiful weather. We've got lots of 4-H animals. We've got everything happening. We have two country and western shows that are going to be on. Mo Cash and Nico Moon will be there, and the Beach Boys are coming. And
oh, cool!
It's just going to be a great week. The fair is coming Friday. Fair parade is this coming Friday at 10 o'clock, going through downtown Kalispell. And it's going to be a beautiful opportunity for our community to get together. And I wanted to give a shout out to Congressman Zinke. Congressman Zinke has helped us with getting the water levels in Flathead Lake up. They've been at full pool all summer long. Last summer they were down 30 inches. He went to the mat with us, and we were able to hold the water levels up where they needed to be, and he's done his due diligence. Jim Jordan's coming this Saturday, and as you said a little while ago, there's 150 more tickets left. Sure, love to see everybody just fill the ball stadium up here. Great opportunity.
Yeah, man, so many things to talk about there. First, you started with the fair, so let's start there. Last year, I remember hearing from your fellow Commissioner Abel. What a huge turnout in support of the kids for the livestock at the fair. I mean, it was huge, the showing of support, which shows not only how much our friends across the Flathead Valley support the youth and the next generation, but also shows how much they support agriculture as well.
Absolutely. You know, you don't think much about Flathead County as being the center of agriculture, but the reality is, the center of the Flathead is kids much of the time, and this is our way to show their support, show support for them as they show their animals, as they sell their animals. The community has just been great about turning out and helping develop the future of these kids.
Yeah, and then, man, I'm so glad you mentioned the water levels at Flathead Lake. I'm trying to compare this summer to last summer. Because it's been a hot summer, right? We've had triple digits for several days across much of the state of Montana. Last summer, you know, there were parts of Montana that had just incredible moisture, right? We had an incredible phone call from, you know, a rancher that's got a ranch near Ingomar, you know, home to the famed Jersey Lily. And he said, the grass, I can't remember when it was this tall. And it was such a great phone call as he described what it looked like out on the ranch. Now, in the Flathead, it was a different story. Northwest Montana had a dry year last summer. But it's been a dry year this year as well. And yet, somehow they've been able to keep the lake levels higher in Flathead Lake. You know, it's almost as if they can control the water level of the lake regardless of what the weather is doing, because they have a dam upstream that they can control and they have a dam that they can control downstream. So, but last year, you know, the feds just wanted to blame it all on climate change and make the people on the lake suffer.
Yep, and it was like, and they said, this is the new norm. And I'll tell you, it's not the new norm. This water level has been a full pool. It's been higher than it's been for several years, and people are able to get the boats in and out, and the businesses are able to keep the doors open. And that's all about the turning the pressure up at the federal level and keeping the Bureau of Reclamation accountable, keeping the tribes accountable, and making this happen. And that's all about our relationship with the congressman and all he put into this.
Yeah, great job by Congressman Zinke. I got to remember to thank him for that when I see him this weekend at this Jim Jordan rally, because that's so important. That's what just frankly has ticked me off so much about the last 3 years of the Biden-Harris tester administration, is that they just deliberately bring the pain on the American people, and then they want to blame climate change. You know, it's like they create the disease and then they try to sell you the cure every single time.
That's right. That's why it's so important that we have good, solid conservatives in our congressional delegation. That's why this race coming up with Tim Sheehy against the incumbent is so important, that we support him, that we make sure that we do everything we can to get him in place, because that team of congressional delegation is so much stronger when we have everybody there conservative.
Yeah, you know, and what you talk about with what Congressman Zinke is doing to fight for, you know, maintaining Flathead Lake levels. We never really used to have to fight about that. It was just something that you did. You just, it was the lake, you know, they maintained the lake levels. It was just the common sense thing to do. But now they want to inflict the pain and then blame climate change. Right. And so good job by Congressman Zinke. But it reminds me what he did for eastern Montana as well, when those fires broke out and, you know, a lot of ranch land, a lot of grassland was taken out by those fires. When he was Secretary of Interior, he opened up the CMR for grazing, just made a common sense decision. Whereas the other side just wants to let it burn and then blame climate change every single time. It's what they do. And it's just blatant political, you know, causing pain to try to capitalize off of it politically. That baseball stadium, too. I'm excited to be at the baseball stadium because it's just supposed to be an incredible facility.
It is absolutely incredible. If you haven't been there yet, now's a great opportunity to check it out. It's more of a professional looking facility than any ball stadium I've been in. It is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and that's where the Zinke Jim Jordan rally is going to be. You know, another point that you made is the importance of these congressional races. I don't know if I can remind some of our conservative friends about this point enough or not. The Eastern Montana Congressional District, which basically goes from Shelby down through Great Falls, Helena, Livingston, all the way to the Dakotas, that is a very safe Republican seat, right? A very safe Republican seat. But they
should be.
Should be, right? Yeah. But you still never take it for granted. Never forget the High Line. Never take Eastern Montana people for granted. You got to fight and you got to work for them every single day. And I think Troy's going to do that. But the Western Montana seat, the Democrats gerrymandered this district because they just want a podium. They want a pedestal. And they think that's their one chance to take over a seat. And look at the way they've destroyed the timber industry with their liberal federal judges and more. Don't let them try to grab it. But see, some conservatives, they think that the Western Montana seat is just as easy to win as the Eastern Montana seat is. And it's like, guys, you have got to work and fight for this seat. And, you know, Zinke beat Trenell the last time. I think he's going to beat her by even more this time around. But I think so many folks on our side can get kind of complacent.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a long story about how the redistricting commission works, but the reality is, as long as we don't control the judicial branch, it will be a Democrat-run commission that sets up the lines on where those boundaries are. And every 10 years, they go through that. And every 10 years, the conservatives get kicked in the teeth.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah, because you know, we'll have listeners, and I'm glad they're questioning our side, but they'll say, well, why did the Republicans – don't we run this state? Why did the Republicans allow the Democrats to gerrymander redistricting? Okay, we may have a Republican supermajority in the legislature. We may have the governor and all these other statewide offices, but here's how redistricting works. There's two Republican appointees on the commission. There's two Democrats appointees on the commission. Which is kind of absurd because it should be based off of the current elected representation in the legislature, if you ask me. But what happens if they can't agree on who the chairperson of the commission will be? Well, tie-breaking vote. Guess who gets to be the tie-breaking vote? The Montana Supreme Court. So again, we go back to the center of gravity here, folks. The radical left has so much power in this state because of the radical left-wing Montana Supreme Court, which is why these Supreme Court races are so important, why Judge Dan Wilson from the Flathead, getting him on the court is so important, why getting Corey Swanson on the court is so important.
That's right. And, you know, it's not about whether you like their ads. It's not whether you like them as people. It's whether they're going to do what's right in that position. And we have to focus on that. We have to turn off all the noises from the media coming at us and say, who's going to do the best job? And what we have to do there, we have to do our own research. And I just encourage everybody to really know who you're voting for and turn out those voices from the media, and because it's all about money in the media. But we have to vote in people that are going to do what's right.
That's right. And bring fairness and justice back to the state Supreme Court. Commissioner Brodell, what a great surprise phone call this morning. I've got 1 minute before our next break. If I can throw one more question back at you, how is tourism numbers looking? I know tourism numbers in parts of the state have been down compared to recent years.
Yeah, I think it's more anecdotally for the numbers for us. They look like they're down a little bit, which is taking some of the pressure off of the valley as we grow and stretch. We have so many people that are moving here that they've added into that traffic. I was up at the park yesterday. It was cold. It was 49 degrees at Logan Pass, and there was still a lot of people.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those cooler temperatures have been good in the past few days. Been very good. All right. Well, Commissioner Randy Brodell, it looks like I'll get to see you again on Saturday, so we'll look forward to it.
All right. It's great. Great to visit with you. Thanks, Aaron.
Hey, thank you, Commissioner Randy Brodell, Flathead County. That was a nice surprise phone call. You can give us a surprise phone call as well. Right now, you know, Commissioner Brodell just called in and said, hey, here's what's happening in the Flathead. What's happening in Butte? What's happening in Great Falls? What's happening in our country? Well, we talk a lot about that. Anyway, you tell us what's happening. 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Phone lines are open from now until 10 a.m.
3.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, we got some messages here on the Montana Talks app. Let's see, Jeff in Victor. Every time I hear Kami La laugh, I feel like I'm in the Wizard of Oz listening to the Wicked Witch of the West. Maybe her rally attendees should bring broomsticks with them instead of rally signs. That's from Jeff in Victor. Let's see. Lori in Billings asked a question. Where is Matt Rosendale these days? He's very active back in Congress. I haven't seen him at a lot of events here in Montana, but I know he's been very active back in Congress. Still standing up to the VA bureaucrats and more. I reached out actually to his team earlier this week, and I don't think I got a response back yet. But let's see. What else do we got here? Michael in Bozeman. For those of us who cannot physically be at the Trump rally, do we know if it's on local TV or streamed or on cable? The best answer I think I could give at this point, now, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here. RSBN, Right Side Broadcasting Network. I remember seeing them at the Trump rallies back in 2018. They go to every one of these Trump rallies and they stream it live. Now, I'm assuming that they'll have the Trump rally. I'm assuming that Fox News will carry it live because, you know, if President Trump starts speaking at 8 p.m. Montana time. Well, that's 10 p.m. back in New York and D.C. So I think they just do, you know, re-aired content at that point anyway. So why wouldn't they carry it live? I also think the Trump campaign has had just a brilliant strategy this week, all week long. Either it's a brilliant strategy or they've just got good luck or they've been blessed. You know, whatever you want to call it, it's brilliant what's been taking place this week because the Democrats are all, oh, why is Trump not out on the campaign trail? And why is Trump waiting for this big rally in Montana to jump back on the national stage? So it's like, wow, you guys are generating even more excitement for the big Trump rally with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy in Bozeman on Friday night. So it's like, yeah, you're amping up the crowd even more. But also, I think what's been brilliant about their strategy this week is J.D. Vance has been able to steal the spotlight from Kamala and this wacky Walls character as well. You know, Mr. Stolen Valor himself, the guy who has lied about his military service to try to embellish his own record while running for office. And so it's allowed J.D. Vance to jump into the spotlight, get some fresh attention, and just fire back at these hypocrites. It's been great to watch, frankly. I've got some great sound bites that I want to share with you here at some point this morning. Let's see. But first, let's get into your phone calls here. We've got Lee in Kalispell next up. Lee, what's going on?
Yeah, last week I sent you a video. I don't know if you got it or not. It was a gal that was sitting right behind Trump and during when he got shot in the ear. And just before that, she kind of picked up the sign. She looked to their right, which would be, they call it 3 o'clock, I guess, and picked up the sign, kind of waved it. And then she put her camera right on Trump. And when the shots rang and he dove down, there was like no reaction to her. She just kind of slowly went down on her knees and was filming Trump all along. And I was wondering what the skinny was on that. Somebody else asked that. They've identified her as the assistant director of the FBI. And there's a name and everything. I don't have that with me right now. But I didn't know if you ended up getting that. If that went through to you or not, that video.
You know, I may have seen it from you. I remember seeing a video like that. Yeah, I got to see if Fox News or even Newsmax or anybody did a story on that particular angle. Because I remember seeing something about it on social media, which you never know if it's accurate or not. Because if it's true, I mean, well, first off, why no reaction? Why not duck like Trump was ducking, and then the crowd started to notice something was going on, or she was either remarkably disciplined and knew that there were these threats against Trump. Remember, they had this credible threat that the Iranians were trying to assassinate Trump. Maybe she was just disciplined and standing there to get as much evidence as possible. I don't know. I'd have to see. I remember seeing that a while back, but I haven't been able to, you know, independently verify if that was accurate or not. But thanks for the phone call, Lee. Great to hear from you. 294-0970 is the number. Speaking of ducking, what has it been? Is it 17 days, 18 days? How many days now has Kamala Harris been ducking questions from the media?
We're not talking about, you know, a couple of days to get your footing after the president dropped out of the 2024 race. No, we're talking about over 2 weeks with an election less than 3 months away. So far, we've got a candidate who won no delegates by vote, and still she's not answering questions about policy positions or holding any major news conferences. Just canned teleprompter speeches, few off-the-cuff remarks, and a lot of laughs. It's enough, say critics, to make you wonder, what are they hiding?
Well, we know what Tim Walz has been hiding. Stolen valor. Multiple instances of stolen valor. We talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday. But listen to what Pete Hegseth had to say on Sean Hannity's program last night. Sean Hannity also sharing this via Instagram. Wait, is this the Vance clip or is this? This is Vance. This is Vance going on. I was thinking it was the Pete Hegseth audio. Maybe I don't have the Pete Hegseth audio. Anyway, let's see what we got here.
Last night, Governor Walz suggested that because of your Ivy League education and your Silicon backing your political career, that you yourself are part of the elite. What are your first impressions of them trying to frame you this way to the American public?
Well, look, I came from a family where nobody in my family had ever gone to law school. I grew up in a poor family. The fact that Tim Walz wants to turn it into a bad thing, that I actually worked myself through college, through law school, and made something myself, to me, that's the American dream. And if Tim Walz wants to insult it, I think that's frankly pretty bizarre. Now, look, what really bothers me about Tim Walz, it's not even the positions that he's taken, though certainly he has been a far left radical. You know what really bothers me about Tim Walz as a Marine who served his country in uniform? When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do it, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have to go. I also think it's dishonest. Something, again, if you guys ever get an opportunity to ask Tim Walz or Kamala Harris some questions, he made this interesting comment that the Kamala Harris campaign put out there, and I bet they're regretting they put it out there now, because he said that we, and he was making a point about gun control, he said we shouldn't allow weapons that I used in war to be on America's streets. Well, I wonder, Tim Walz, when were you ever in war? When was this, what was this weapon that you carried into war, given that you abandoned your unit right before they went to Iraq and he has not spent a day in a combat zone? What bothers me about Tim Walz is the stolen valor garbage. Do not pretend to be something that you're not. And if he wants to criticize me for getting an Ivy League education, I'm proud of the fact that my mamaw supported me, that I was able to make something of myself. I'd be ashamed if I was him and I lied about my military service like he did.
There you go. Look at J.D. Vance shining all week long. Wait till you hear the audio of him going to the press right in front of Kamala Harris's Air Force Two. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, let's go to Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere. Rock, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I want to challenge your liberal listeners. I know they're out there, you know, Ken from Great Falls. I haven't heard from them much lately, and I just wonder what they think about Tampon Tim. I'll look. The lies, all the stuff that he's done, you know, Minnesota ablaze, you know, things like that. I've got a sister that's a liberal, and she lives in Wisconsin, but she's not far from the Twin Cities, and she won't go there anymore. But she still can't make the correlation between the governor and what has happened to the state of Minnesota. You know, she just, unfortunately, she's pretty dense when it comes to that kind of stuff. It just doesn't register.
That's fascinating. So your sister won't even go to Minneapolis anymore. She lives in nearby Wisconsin. Won't even go there anymore because of how bad it's gotten. But she can't put 2 + 2 together that realizes that the same liberal Democrats she votes for are the ones that made, Minneapolis Mogadishu in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And I want to hear from, you know, especially Ken. I don't know if he's a family man or not.
Well, he supports Tampon Tim, probably. I know he supports Tampon Tester. Hold that thought. We'll come back to you after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You've got to run around, do an end run around the state-run media mob. They're not going to vet Kamala Harris, and they're not going to vet Tim Walz. They're going to let them get off pretty much scot-free. It's the equivalent of allowing Joe to hide in his basement all throughout the 2020 campaign under the guise of COVID. There's no outrage. There's no indignation at the fact that Harris and Walz have yet to do an interview. I'm sure there's one coming, but it's going to be by a friendly interviewer, which is fine. But when are they going to be asked about the very things that they have said and advocated for? Is that ever going to happen?
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-TERM-LIFE. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-TERM-LIFE. That's 800-TERM-LIFE.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The data are complete now for Montana revenue collections in fiscal year 24, and what they tell us about the economy is sobering. Revenues from the state's personal income tax were flat in the 12-month period ending on June 30 compared to the previous fiscal year. Other important revenue sources were flat or in decline as well, including natural resource taxes and corporation income taxes. The legislature's passage of a 0.4 percentage point reduction in the personal income tax rate contributed to stagnation in revenues for at least that important tax, but the message of the revenue report as a whole is quite clear. The era of big budget surpluses and booming revenues for Montana is over. And it gets worse. State government is the same as every Montana household in one important respect. We all face higher prices for the things we want to buy. When you adjust for inflation, you find that in terms of purchasing power, state revenues actually declined last year. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Of NuGenics. Text RADIO to 321-321. That's radio to 321-321.
The night before the Trump rally in Bozeman, Montana, we're going to have a cool event, kind of like a little pre-funk for the Trump rally. We're going to be doing a cool event at the brewery in Laurel. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I've got that story on our Montana Talks website right now. Or better yet, get the Montana Talks app on your smartphone and you'll see it right there. Plus, we're hunting. MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, I got to give credit where credit's due. That's how we roll around here. You know, we don't want to embellish things like Tim Walz. We don't want to, you know, plagiarize things like, well never mind. Joe Biden. But anyway, yeah, it was David Noble who first made this great point. You know, Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere said, well, hey, what does Ken in Great Falls think about Tampon Tim? You know, Tim Walz putting tampons in the little boys' bathrooms for fourth graders. And I had to throw out there, well, what about Tampon Tester? Because he's in line with that radical agenda, too. It was David Noble, our great guest host and sidekick. He's got it. By the way, David will be at the Trump rally with me as well. And I think he's going to be live streaming it on his Twitch TV podcast. So. Get on Twitch TV, get the at lecture fan, LCTR fan, follow David Noble, and that may be another way to get some cool inside look at the Trump rally tomorrow night as well. But it was David Noble who first said, yeah, you got Tampon Tim and you got Tampon Tester. Great question, Rock. And Rock, thanks for sticking around.
That interview of Lance or his speech, that was great. Did you hear the one? The guy that took Tampon Tim's place as a sergeant major that actually went over to Iraq. They interviewed him yesterday, I think, on Bongino. It was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was, you could tell the guy was, you know, he was cool, man. He was really cool, but you could tell he was pretty ticked off.
Oh, several of Walz's, you know, the veterans that actually went and did that deployment to Iraq that he dodged out of. Remember, he wasn't just some, you know, E3, E4, who was like, you know, I really don't like the Iraq war, so I'm not going to go. And he figured out a way to, like, he was supposed to be their command sergeant major, the guy that they looked to be basically like the father figure for the, I think that's how Pete Hegseth or somebody described it, for the whole unit, for the whole battalion. And he bailed on him. I mean, that's just
right.
A major...
He also used that sergeant major thing because he was not, when he resigned, he lost that. He never got that commission. And
yeah, he got stripped of them. He got downgraded back to
right. And he used it for his campaign.
Of course he did.
Thing. Isn't that a punishable crime? I mean, it is a crime to falsify your service. He was not a sergeant major. He did not retire a sergeant major.
Yeah, that's one big lie, and he knew better. He's saying, well, I was the highest-ranking enlisted guy to ever serve in Congress. Like, you got downgraded because you never went to the sergeant major, the sergeant's major academy. You never, you dodged the deployment with your own troops. they busted you down in rank. But just be honest about it, man. Like, be humble. What is it so hard for some of these guys to be humble? That's what I don't get. Like, yeah, it's just crazy. Rock, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. We got the phone lines coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Just painful to see this embellishing going on here. When I talk about pain, though, some of you are like, oh, I know pain. I got arthritis. It's the bone-on-bone constant pain, and I get it. You don't want to get surgery if you don't have to. You want to stay off those painkiller drugs because those make you feel messed up, and you know, there's the potential for getting addicted. I get it. So you're just dealing with it. You're dealing with the pain. Well, what if you could deal with it once and for all the natural way? Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They use cutting-edge treatments that accelerate your own body's healing properties. Get you feeling better, get over the pain the natural way with your own body's healing properties that they put right into those achy joints, whether it's your back, your knees, your hips, you name it. Call QC Kinetics for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
Democracy 2024.
Vice President Kamala Harris telling supporters,
"And when I am president, it will be a day one priority to fight to bring down prices. I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging."
Vowing to strengthen the middle class, prevent gun violence with common sense legislation, protect voting and reproductive rights.
She believes in the freedom to make your own choices. She believes in opportunity for every single person to join the middle class. And she believes in the promise of America.
Her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, saying Republicans will attack freedoms and weaken the country.
Working people need to live in communities with public safety.
Former President Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, also speaking in Wisconsin.
Working people need the police to be supported in their communities.
Slamming Democrats on crime and border security. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.